Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
When I knew I was going to speak this morning, I knew exactly what I was going to speak on. I already felt like the Lord had given me the main part of what I was going to say, but not really details. So I was struggling with the details, and I was just like, Lord, I'm hitting a roadblock every time. I know I'm supposed to talk about our thoughts and what we think and how our mind can really wreak havoc with us, and I knew that, but I could not really get, point one, point two, all those things that you try to get together. So Thursday morning at 2:30 in the morning, I woke up, and the Lord gave me every bit of it. Bam, 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 bam. I grabbed my iPad because I knew I'm not going to remember any of this in the morning. So I had it all written out. And so what I have this morning is exactly what God gave me. So there's no doubt in my mind that this isn't a message for all of us. And I certainly didn't make it up. This is too hard. But so the ABCs of controlling your thoughts. That's what we're going to talk about today. The ABCs of controlling your thoughts. Trying to make it simple and not hard. But this is something that is difficult for us and something that we need to do. So I took the scripture from Philippians 4, which all of you good missionettes and girls ministries people should know this by heart. Although I use the New Living Translation, not King James, which is what they made us use when we had to memorize it years ago, right? Philippians 4, 4 through 9 says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So I used this scripture Wednesday when I spoke at the senior service, and Steve said, you ought to talk on that again. I said, well, funny you should say that, because the first part is the same. So you guys are getting, those of you who weren't there will get a little review. The rest of you, sorry, just hang in there with me. But the first thing, really, when you want to get your thoughts in order, you need to be a prayer warrior. That is so much easier when you have a relationship with the Lord and you're praying. So the job description of a prayer warrior, according to these scriptures that we just heard, is be joyful, be considerate, don't worry about anything, pray about everything, tell God what you need, and thank him for what he has done. Now, I know that we are to enter his gates with thanksgiving, and you may say, well, you should thank him first, and you can, it's fine, but I just put this down in the order it was in that scripture, so that's how I got that order. But controlling your thoughts is much easier if you're a person of prayer, so I can really encourage you to pray some more, keep praying. But if we move on in that scripture, it says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. And I like the Amplified version. It kind of goes into a little bit more detail. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, that's a biggie, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. So we need to strive to think continually about these things, because if you don't, your mind's going to go somewhere else. Your mind has a mind of its own, right? It just does what it wants to do. There are many lies out there, and it's hard to know what the truth is a lot of times. You hear one thing, and then you hear the opposite thing. And, you know, whether or not you're a fan of CNN or whether or not you're a fan of Fox News, I am convinced that the truth is somewhere in the middle, you know, because the every news outlet has its own bent of how it wants to portray things. And there's a lot of times you think, what is the truth? It's hard to know what the truth is. They push their own agenda. But the only truth that we can for sure know what's true is God's word. We know that is the truth. And we know that the enemy likes to lie to us, right? He's not going to tell us the truth. He's going to tell us lies. Job 8:44 says, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Lying is the devil's M.O. That's his mode of operation. He will lie to you. He will try to make you believe that the truth is a lie and the lie is the truth and twist it all around. An example of a lie is there's no hope for your lost friends and loved ones. You know, we come in every week and we pray all together for our lost friends and loved ones. And a lie is that the devil would say, they're too far gone. There's no hope for them. There's nothing I can do for them. They'll never change. That's a lie. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. That's the truth. The truth is, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him, will not perish but have eternal life. A lie is, I can't do this. This is too hard. I can't do this Christian thing. Or I can't try to be holy. I can't change the way I talk. I can't do any of those things. I can't do it. It's just too hard. But the truth is, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Right? The devil will lie to you and try to make you think you can't do something. You can't serve God. He'll try to make you think God doesn't hear you. But Scripture again and again tells us how God hears us and how he listens to us and he loves us. But the one thing is, if you don't control your thoughts will control you. If you don't control your thoughts will control you. And they will lead you a merry chase, let me tell you. You've got to pull it together. Your thoughts control your attitude. A, attitude, right? Have you ever seen anybody with a bad attitude? I got people raising hands. Just don't point to anybody. You can raise your hand, just don't point. But a bad attitude is hard to get out of, especially I've seen people at my day job with bad attitudes, and it's really hard for them to ever pull out of that. Now, I've seen a good attitude stay good even through difficult things. I had an employee who I had promoted to a position at work, and she's very pleasant, she's very nice, she's very all the things that I wanted in this position, except the money aspect of it, where you have to count the money, you have to take it to the bank, and I mean, the money's a big thing, right? You can't just lay down on the money aspect of the job, not get it to the bank on time and all that kind of stuff, and so she just couldn't seem to do it. And I told her, I said, look, if you get behind, let me know. I'm happy to help you. I'll do it for you. If you're behind, that's fine. I know you have a lot on your plate. I don't mind helping out. And she said, okay. And she was like 2 weeks behind. So I got it all caught up for her. And I said, okay, now going forward, if you see you're starting to get behind, let me know. Because it can't get behind like this again. And I'll help you. And she said, okay. Well, did it again. So I got with her. I said, this can't happen again. And it happened the third time. So I ended up having to write her up. I ended up having to demote her because she couldn't keep up with the money. And the whole time, she had the most pleasant attitude. I know, I should have told you I needed help. I should have, you know, this is my fault. I don't blame you for this. I didn't do what I was supposed to do. You know, I just wanted to do it so bad. I hated to admit it. And, you know, but it's all on me. And she's still employed there. She's still a great employee with a great attitude through all of that. You know, but other people would have been mad. You know, they would have, most people don't take the blame for when they do something wrong, right? It's always somebody else's fault. Well, I would have done it, but so-and-so did this or whatever. But, you know, a great attitude is priceless. And it'll take you a long way. You know, if she had continued and had a bad attitude, she wouldn't be employed now. But because her attitude kept her at a level which was just phenomenal, she is a great employee to this day. So your attitude is important. We've got to keep a good attitude. Your thoughts control your attitude, but also your behavior, right? What you do, how you treat people. If you get angry about something, if you have a bad attitude about something, then your behavior is not what it should be to people. So we've got to make sure that we keep our attitude and our behavior in check. Now, your thoughts control your attitude, your behavior, and your conversation. Now, this is where it gets tricky. This is like a vicious circle, because if your attitude's wrong, your behavior's wrong, your conversation is wrong, then your conversation starts feeding into your attitude, and it continues this vicious cycle of bad behavior because you're not even talking, you're trying to talk yourself out of anything. You're just, conversation is bad. If you want to know where you are in your attitude and behavior, start listening to what you're saying. Because if you're always having negative stuff coming out, then there needs to be an adjustment somewhere, because you can't continue in that. But your thoughts control your attitude, behavior, conversation, your destination. Controls your destination. In talking about jobs, it could be the end of it. If your behavior's bad, your attitude's bad, behavior's bad, your conversation's bad, then you probably won't have a job very long, right? In the spiritual, your spiritual walk, if your behavior's bad, your attitude's bad, your conversation's bad, your destination is not where you want it to be, right? Because you want your destination to be heaven, upward, and that's not what it's going to be if you're not in the right place. So, your thoughts control your attitude, your behavior, your conversation, your destination, your very existence. It affects every part of your life. Every part of your life. Family, relationships, relationship with God. It all starts with our thoughts. But we can change it. That's the good thing. We can change it. So fixing your mind on what is true and God-honoring keeps you from believing the lie. And I'm going to use the same illustration that I used Wednesday. And that is, you know, fixing your mind on something, you're focusing on it. You're focusing on God. And when I'm looking at Dan, then I see Camilla out of the corner of my eye, and I see Matt out of the corner of my eye, but I really don't know what they're doing. But I know what Dan's doing because I can see him, right? But if I'm looking at Camilla, then Dan's a blur, and I'm focused on Camilla. So when we focus on the Lord, first of all, our problems and everything else we see is out here, and God is the focus, and we see how great and big God is. When we're focused on our problems, or we're focused on whatever the enemy we're allowing him to throw in our brain, then we're not focused on the right thing. So we've got to focus and fix our thoughts on what is true and not what's a lie. So to keep our mind fixed on Christ, we have to, first of all, you have to accept Christ if you haven't already, because I don't know how you can't do it. I'm just going to say you can't do it if you're not saved. You cannot keep your mind where it needs to be if you're not saved. It's just not going to happen. So accept Christ if you haven't already. Pay attention to what you're thinking. How many times are you driving down the road and all of a sudden you think, wow, where did that come from? Why am I thinking about that? You know, our mind has a mind of its own, and it will go its own way. So we have to pay attention to what we're thinking, and we have to bring our thoughts into alignment with Christ. We cannot allow it just to run around and do whatever it wants to do. Your mind is like a child that you let run wild. Have you ever seen just wild kids? You know, you just let them out. This is a child you don't even keep in the yard, okay? Your mind is like a child who you just let out, and they're just roaming the neighborhood. You don't know where they are. They're getting into all kinds of stuff. That's what your mind is like. It just goes wherever. Wherever the enemy leads it, basically, is where it goes. So to keep your mind fixed on Christ, we have to pay attention to our thoughts, bring them into alignment, and then make them behave. They don't want to behave. And then what we think comes right out of our mouth. Have you ever heard people who don't have a filter? You know? There was a lady at work the other day, and she said, I want to show you something. And she holds out her hand. She had on an engagement ring. And I said, oh, because I didn't know she was even seeing anybody. And she goes, I'm engaged. And I said, how long have you known this man? A week. And probably what I should have said was, congratulations. But what I said was, have you lost your mind? Because that is all I could think to say. And so she proceeds to tell me, you know, how great he is. He prays over their food, and so he's a good Christian man. But then she proceeds to tell me some other things. I'm thinking, that doesn't really sound like a good Christian man. You know, I might have went, it's great that he prays over his food, but, you know. But anyway, I did manage to rein my thoughts in and my tongue at that point and not say too much else. And it made me feel a little bit better that they were going to wait a few months to get married. Because I thought, Lord, just show her. If something's bad here, show her, you know. But sometimes we have to really pay attention to what we're thinking. Got to rein that in, and our behavior needs to be in line as well. And then it says, to keep our mind fixed on Christ, we have to pay attention, bring our thoughts into alignment, make them behave, and keep control so Christ can work. Christ wants to work in our situation. He wants to take care of our issues with our mind and all of that. But we do so many things out of habit that it's easy to let our mind just wander. I mean, a lot of times, if somebody does something to you and makes you mad, how many times do you play that over in your mind? A lot. If you don't, you've got this down. But most of us play it over and over, and then we realize, okay, this is not giving glory to the Lord. This is not doing anything for Jesus. I'm just playing all this negative stuff over and thinking, oh, I wish I would have said that, or I wish I would have done this, you know, and I would have told them off, and you're saying all this stuff over in your mind, and it's not beneficial. Instead, you know, we should be saying, Lord, help them. Help me, first of all, to get over this, and forgive, because right now I'm having a hard time, right? I really think we need to be totally honest with the Lord. There is no reason to try to make him think you're holy and you're wonderful, because he probably does, because he loves you, but he knows all the ins and outs of your personality. So you might as well just say, Lord, I'm mad, and I kind of like it, but I know I'm not supposed to be, you know? So can you help me not to like it quite so much? And can you help me to get past this and to love these people, right? So he'll do it. He will do it. He's done it for me, and I've been honest with him in these kind of situations before. But we do things out of habit a lot. We had an interview at work this week. We have a three people in on the interview. And so we were going to have this signal. Because sometimes you get people in and you can kind of tell, like on drugs or something, you know. And there's really no sense in going through the whole interview process because you know you're not going to hire them right off the bat, pretty much. So you get in there. So we decided what we were going to do, and it was three of us ladies. We were going to sit down. We were not going to cross our legs. If we crossed our legs, that was a sign to the other two that we don't think it's going to work, right? Okay. Well, we all have a habit of crossing our legs. So we're sitting there, and I'm watching the other two, and I'm thinking, and they both crossed their legs pretty quick on this first interview. And I'm overthinking it, really. Did they cross their legs out of habit? Or are they really trying to signal to me that they don't think this woman's going to work, you know? So I never did cross my legs, and I kept looking at them to see if they were looking at my legs, but they weren't. So I'm, like, analyzing this whole thing, and I kept thinking, well, let's give her a chance, you know? We'll give her a shot, you know? We'll finish talking to her. So after she leaves, I said, did y'all cross your legs because you thought we should just cut her loose? And they're like, yeah, but you seem to like her because you didn't cross your legs. I'm like, well, I did. I was thinking maybe you guys were, you know. Then the next day, we're going to do the same thing, right? Well, the next day, I automatically crossed my legs out of habit. And I actually liked the lady. And they're kind of, and then I realized what I've done, so I uncrossed my legs. So we do a lot of things out of habit. And our mind also functions out of habit. Out of habit. So we've really got to pay attention to what we are thinking about. Controlling your thought life is not automatic once you are saved. Don't you wish it was? Yes, but it is not. It takes work. And we've got to work at it. We really do. So you've got to pay attention to what you're letting in your minds. Remember, I think Tasha mentioned this song last week. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. We sang this in children's church. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little feet, where you go. You know, we've got to be careful. What we let into our minds, what we listen to, all of that is important. Garbage in, garbage out. If you're filling your head with garbage, that's what you're going to get out. I have never seen a clean garbage truck. I was thinking about it actually today and yesterday. I was thinking, have I ever seen a clean garbage truck? No, I have not. Maybe clean on the outside, but with the part where they throw in the trash, even when the trash is emptied, it's nasty. Now, the good news is, even if our minds get nasty, God can clean it out, and he can make it like new, unlike the garbage truck, right? He can make it like new. So we are responsible for what we allow into our minds. That is up to us. God does not come and slap his hand over your eyes or slap his hands over your ears or take control of your tongue. There are things we have to do. And so we have to make sure that we're not letting things in that don't need to be there. And then God will not make us behave. He won't control our thoughts. That's up to us. He wants us to behave because he loves us and he wants us to love him. I love what Rex Borman said when he was here one time. He said, supernatural, the word supernatural. Our part is the natural. God's part is the super. But we have to do our part, right? So we have to do the natural. We have to do what we can to make sure that we are thinking right and doing right. So in conclusion, control your thoughts by paying attention, making them behave, and keeping control. It is just so imperative that we do this. We cannot just keep going and let our minds just run amok. The enemy doesn't want you to guard your mind. He loves it when you're not paying attention to this. He loves it. We cannot let our minds be the devil's playground. But you and God can turn it around, right? You can turn it around by controlling your thoughts. So we have got to do that. We've got to control our thoughts. I challenge you. I challenge all of y'all. All of y'all. I challenge you to really, for an hour today, 1 hour today, really try to pay attention to what you're thinking about. And if your mind strays, and it will, yank it back. And start thinking about what God has done for you. Your salvation. Think about things in the Bible. Think about the pretty sky. Think about the birds, bluebirds, redbirds, whatever. Think about something lovely, God's creation. Don't let a negative thought in your head for an hour today. Are y'all up for the challenge? And then let that be the beginning of going forward and more and more. Right? And if something comes in, that doesn't mean you failed. You just kick it out. Then that means you've won, right? All right. Okay, well, we're going to say a prayer this morning and be dismissed. Father, I just thank you for your word for us. I thank you, Lord, that you show us what's important, what we need to take care of, Father. Lord, I pray that you help me to do this. Father, I pray that you help me to really pay attention to what's going in my mind, what's going in my ears. Father, really pay attention to what's pleasing to you above all things. Father, I love you. We love you. We want to be pleasing in your sight. We want to be a church who seeks after you. We want to be a church, Father, who wants to bring in the lost. We want to see lost people saved. Father, we pray that you would help us to be that light that shines, Father, brightly for those around us. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys are dismissed.